This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our special guest today is Kurt Covington. Kurt is with Ag America Lending in Florida and will join us in just a few moments. First, Nicholas Burns is U.S. Ambassador to China, speaking this week at the Brookings Institute.
You know, broadly described, if you look at the Congress and look at the debate in the think tanks and look at really how the Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and now Joe Biden administrations have proceeded, I think we have a high degree of uniformity, bipartisanship, and what the threat is. China wishes to become the strongest power in the Indo-Pacific. I think that is irrefutable. That's their goal. The great Lee Kuan Yew determined that was the case 12, 15 years ago. I thought that before coming into government this time. And I now am firmly convinced that's their long-term goal.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Kurt Covington. Kurt is Senior Director, Institutional Credit with Ag America. Kurt, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Never better. As we
Happy holidays.
Oh, absolutely. And it's always exciting as we roll into the holiday season because, well, multiple reasons, but just a good reminder of the importance of family and friends. When it comes to family and friends, you've developed quite a few relationships over your time. Just looking through your bio here, this is pretty impressive. But for those who want to know more about Kurt and your road to Ag America, how would you describe it?
Oh, well, thanks, Tony. So, yeah, I started out in ag banking about 45 years ago. I grew up in farming out in California. During that period of time, I was obviously attracted to agricultural lending, started in the farm credit system, eventually moved through the Midwest to the East Coast, having been the former chief credit officer at Farmer Mac. Then temporarily retired, and 6 days later decided, you know, probably retirement's not for me. I had done a lot of work in the past with Ag America Lending. And so I migrated from the cold winter weather of the Virginias down to the sunny, warm winters of Florida.
Now, did I read this correctly? You've also had some time in the classroom, not only earning degrees, but helping others earn degrees?
Yes, sir. So I spent 26 years at Fresno State, California State University, Fresno. I was a faculty member there as a, you know, adjunct faculty member for about 26 years, taught agricultural accounting, agricultural cost accounting, agricultural finance, commodity trading. And it was just a great experience. One of the great things about having taught at a university, particularly a really good agriculture university, is that, you know, I had real world experience. A lot of students really enjoyed that. Many of them, you know, look back on those times because I still see them today. I think I counted up that there's about, out of all the students that I taught, if I had my numbers right, I had about 25% of them that end up in agricultural banking at some time, which is, you know, that's something to be proud of, right? And I still see many of them today.
I'm going to read a mission statement here. To know the farmer, to counsel the farmer, to provide a financial structure allows the farmer to thrive in good times and to sleep well during tough times. That's right off the website of Ag America. What can you tell us about the organization?
Well, Ag America is more than just a lender. I mean, and that's really one, I think, of the pillars of this organization. And I, you know, for me, it aligns with my view of what an ag lender should be. And that is that we are a person, a group that a borrower can come to at any time and ask for financial help. And sometimes that financial help is just counseling. It doesn't mean that money goes out the door or money comes in the door. It simply means that sometimes somebody needs someone that they can talk to that can give them advice, who has maybe seen this situation that is in front of that farmer many, 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 many times before, and can say, look, I've seen this before, and I know how this can turn out good, and I also know how it can turn out bad. And so for me, one of the joys I get in this job is not that I'm just helping the farmer as their financial partner, but I'm also helping that farmer as someone that can help counsel them through issues, both good times and in bad times.
It's interesting that some of the best times that we've seen as far as net farm income have also come through some of the toughest times as well, talking about some of the government payments, the ad hoc payments that have come through over the last few years. We're expecting those to really start tapering off. And the question, I guess, does that affect, will it affect net farm income, and how might it affect liquidity?
Yeah, two really good questions. So I would say it this way. I think we're coming to the end of the good times in agriculture when it comes to bottom line profitability. You know, it's really interesting. Most of my farmers, particularly across the Midwest, have seen just extraordinary top line revenue, but bottom line profitability is starting to, I would say, starting to shrink a bit. And a lot of that is because, to your point, some of the assistance programs are going away. That's number one. But more importantly than that, margins are shrinking because input costs, particularly in 2022 and through, you know, probably a good 6 months through 2023, have really squeezed margins. And most of that is oil-based inputs, you know, fertilizer, chemicals, but also labor. And the one that we tend not to talk about, because most people don't see interest as an input cost, but in fact, interest costs have, for some farmers, doubled and tripled since prior to 2022. And that takes a real hit on that farmer's bottom line. And I think 2024 is going to be a more difficult year. And I think farmers that have already planned ahead and they're working with their operating lenders today, many of them have to be very judicious on how they spend money going in 2024. So the old saying, right, separate your needs from your wants, decide which costs are most important to the profitability and success of your farming operation versus the things that you'd like to have, but maybe need to put off to a later day.
Throughout your time, you've had the opportunity to experience highs and lows. Some might look back to the 80s and the high interest rates as being one of those lows. Our interest rates, about a 22-year high at this point? Is there any comparison? Is there anything that we can pull from what happened in the 80s? Or are we kind of in our own little world with the high interest rates that we have today?
So there's a lot of comparisons to the 80s. You know, we had some international turmoil. We had, sizable crop inventories back then. Land values were starting to appreciate. And generally speaking, prior to the farm crisis of the 80s, farm income was okay. So there are some similarities to it. What I would say that's a little bit different today is that one of them is the farmer themselves. Many of them have gotten much better at controlling their costs, understanding their costs, and having systems in their business, accounting systems, and help in understanding the cost structure and those costs that tend to and can get out of control if not managed carefully. But the other side of this as well, which has been very interesting to me, despite these high interest rate, land values continue, for the most part, to remain elevated. And that's a complete other discussion than what we're talking about here, but it's a fascinating view of land values more recently, as the USDA described in August of this year, that land values continue to increase, but clearly at a decreasing rate.
So I've been working through the website, and Ag America has a blog, and some of what I've pulled have been from reports on, like, the U.S. farmland market outlook for 2024. There's another one in there on why farm lending needs to change, and it talks about the farm crisis of the 80s and the farm consolidation, and again, the whole idea of get big or get out, going back to Ag Secretary Earl Butts. So as we kind of wrap things up here, what are some thoughts you want to leave with producers as we wrap up 23 and head into 24?
You know, one of the backbones of U.S. agriculture has always been the family farm. And I still think there's a lot of misconception of what quote-unquote corporate farming is and big farming is. What I will say is this, is that we at Ag America will serve the small family farm as our core. That's not to say we don't do business with larger farming operations, because we do. But we also see the need for preserving the family unit out in rural America. And for us, that has always been our primary goal. And how do you do that as a lender? Well, number one, maybe you take some chances that some other traditional lenders won't take. Maybe because there's a little too much debt on the books, or because the farming operation maybe isn't of the best economic size to be involved in the financing of that operation. Or maybe there's just been some issues in the family business that you believe as a lender can overcome. But the bigger piece of this is helping agriculture see the technology that's coming. I'm a firm believer, and I'm not sure what side of the fence I'm on this, but AI, artificial intelligence, and the agricultural lending space is going to look a lot different 5 and 10 years from now. And I honestly think the delivery of agricultural credit to rural American family farms will benefit from that.
Well, let's not wait 5 or 10 years before we talk again. Will you come back and see us?
Absolutely. I love talking to you, Tony. It's great.
Kirk Covington is Senior Director, Institutional Credit with Ag America, online at agamerica.com. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Kirk Covington with Ag America Lending.
CattleCon 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA trade show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. You can keep up with Ag America online, agamerica.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
In a so-called normal year, grocery store food prices usually go down during November with all of the holiday supermarket specials. And indeed, for the first time in a couple of years now, that is what happened last month. According to the Consumer Price Index,
food at home prices or grocery prices fell by 0.5% in November.
0.5%. Agriculture Department economist Megan Schweitzer says November's grocery prices were only 1.7% higher than November a year ago.
And that's the slowest year-over-year growth in food at home prices in about 2.5 years.
So you might say this latest CPI report, definitely a consumer-friendly report. Megan told us,
of the 22 food categories that we track, we saw price decreases for 15 of them. From October to November of this year.
Some foods in November were costing less than they did November a year ago, including eggs, fresh vegetables, pork, dairy products, and fish and seafood. Gary Crawford, Washington.